We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Newest edition here of Tapping the Plate here on the 435 podcast at 610 Sports Radio. Please, as always, like, subscribe on the radio.com app. Make sure once a month you get a chance to hear these conversations with Royals players. Last month it was Hunter Dozier. This month the new guy in town, it's Nicky Lopez, who's just been with the club less than 2 weeks. Nicky, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No, of course, you know, I'm glad that you had the time. I know that like the beginning of a major league career versus even just how busy the minors is has got to be kind of a big switch. Are you still kind of getting adjusted to the new routine versus, you know, maybe what you'd experienced in the minors?
Yeah, definitely. Still asking some questions here and there to the, you know, the veterans, but I'm kind of settling in now. I'm still on cloud nine, still sometimes coming to the field, and you know, when we're on the way and or on the road and going to the field, it still hits me that, wow, I'm in the big league. So it's kind of cool. It hasn't really worn off yet, and I hope it doesn't, because I like this feeling.
How unique you get to, like, you just get called up, and then your first road trip, your dad comes with you? So,
yeah.
Like, that's kind of bizarre already.
Yeah.
So, like, first time on the big league plane, first time doing all that stuff, your dad, you got to see it at the same time as your dad. What were his impressions? What did he think of the whole scene?
Yeah, well, I guess it was, like, the first time ever where, you know, a guy got called up for the dad's trip, or right before the dad's trip, and it was the first flight for both of us, and he was just in awe of the whole thing, and he was just taking it all in like I was, and he really couldn't believe it. He's still talking about it every single time I call him now, so it was something really special.
I mean, unique, certainly. So your path through the minors, not uncommon than a lot of different guys' path through the minors, is in you're 24, you kind of went level to level, you bounced through. Was there a point for you where you felt like, oh boy, this is a wall, and it's going to be hard to get past this wall to order to push yourself to the next? Because I got some other stuff, too, I want to ask you about outside of baseball. But, like, when you're going through that process, do you hit a point where, like, there's a wall in front of you you kind of got to get through?
You know, there was tough times in every season. Wilmington kind of went quick, and I got to Double A. I kind of hit a wall when I got to Double A. I started off pretty fast, and then I didn't end my first stint in Double A the way I really wanted to. And so that was my first time thinking, like, okay, this is going to be kind of tough. But then I went to the Fall League, did well there, and then I went back to Double A, and I did well and got to Triple A. And that's when I kind of had that feeling like I'm pretty close. Like, I'm close, and I just got to push through this. And then I started in Triple A again this year, and I didn't think it was going to be as fast as it did happen, but I know that I was able to do it, and I was able to compete at this level, and I wanted to get here as fast as I could, and luckily my name was called in, you know, May, and so it was awesome.
I know a big part of your goal when you were down in the minors was to get up before the Royals played at your college stadium. You played at Creighton, for people who don't know, and so TD Ameritrade is where the Royals are going to play here in, what, like 3 weeks? So, like, that was a big goal of yours. How realistic did you think it was at the time? Because you said, even now, you're like, I didn't know if it happened this quick. But, you know, the goal was, by then, I'd like to be up.
I'm a big goal-oriented player. I like setting goals for myself, and I like, you know, trying to achieve them. I set goals for myself back in Double-A, get to Triple-A, and then Triple-A, get to the big leagues. And, you know, that was my goal, is to get here kind of quick so I would be able to play back at TD Ameritrade, because who knows how if we're going to be able to do it again or what the scenario was. But, you know, just I was thinking in my head, like, how cool it would be to be back at TD Ameritrade, be able to walk into the stadium again and, you know, visit Omaha again.
You get to actually show people around this time instead of vice versa.
Exactly. So I'll be able to go back and sit in the same seat that I sat in when I was a freshman and, you know, sophomore and junior year. So that was a big goal of mine. And it was not like I didn't know I was going to reach it. It was just, you know, only time would tell if I was going to be up early enough. And that was just a goal of mine, and I'm glad I was able to achieve it, and hopefully I can keep it going and, you know, stay here.
So you and your girlfriend met at Creighton, yes. I assume, right? Because correct. She went to Creighton. How did you guys end up running in the same circle? She was an athlete, too, in college.
Was.
Is it through those means, like athletes just are kind of near each other? Or
it was.
How did you guys?
I might embarrass her a little bit right now, but okay. She was a freshman and I was a sophomore, and she was an incoming basketball player. I was already established at Creighton. I was a sophomore, and she had a friend who also played basketball. She was dating someone on the baseball team, and you know, they started talking, but she actually Twitter direct messaged me.
Oh.
So it's kind of funny.
Modern relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is, I guess this is the new era, but yeah, so she Twitter messaged me and then we started talking, and then 4 years later we're still going strong.
How was that grind for her through the minor league? Cuz that's not like relationship stuff is hard anyway.
Right.
Then you talk about like, oh, a minor league schedule while she's, you know, she would have spent 1 year of that time at Creighton certainly, mm-hmm. but now like in regular life for part of that period. How was kind of like managing that for you two?
It was tough at first, very tough, because you know I would go and she would be focused on basketball, and you know, didn't have that much time, because after basketball season was over she would have to do summer league and all that stuff, and she had really no time to come and see me. But the thing that, you know, I give her a lot of credit is that she kind of gets the grind of athletics. She was playing sports her whole life, so she actually understood that, you know, my commitment to the sport and my commitment to baseball, and she knew that this was a dream of mine. So she's been great.
I guess I've never asked a player, so maybe I've just never figured out, when you're up here, like the whole point is like, hey, it's easy to get up, it's hard to stay up, right?
Right.
When you first come up, how do they handle, like, what do you do living arrangement-wise? Do you just get an apartment, stay in a hotel, crash at Salvi's place? What do you do? Like, what do you do?
I wish I can crash at Salvi's place.
Like, what do you do when you first come up?
No, they put me in a hotel, a really nice one, the Intercontinental. They take care of me.
That's where the visiting players
are
usually.
Which is nice. So, but I was, they put me up there for a little bit, and then in that short, you know, stint of how long you're going to be here, and you try to find apartments, and so I'm starting to close in on an apartment right now, which is great, and we'll have it set up during the road trip when I'm gone.
Okay, so they give you a little bit of time, like, hey, just stay here for a little bit, and then you slowly try to find a place. You're like, hey, I could be here a while, but please also.
So you never really know. They don't tell you really a timetable of when you're gonna, how long you're gonna be, or how long you're gonna stay up, but you know, it's based off of how you do, and you know, I'm trying to do as best as I can, and I hope I can stay here as long as I can.
So, with your girlfriend, I know that she played college basketball at Creighton. I've seen video of you hitting a game-winning shot in high school. Do you guys play against each other?
I always say that I could beat her. I beat her in a game of horse one time, but no, she was...
Never played one-on-one?
As my high school career ended, I didn't really play basketball as much, so when I went and, you know, shot in the gym with her a couple times, it was pretty ugly.
No good?
It was bad. So, in my defense, though, I was using a girl's ball, so it was kind of smaller, you know, but... Nah, she's much better than me.
Much better. One-on-one, too, right?
And I'm not ashamed to say it, but yeah, she's much better.
Was basketball your second best sport?
Yes.
Okay. And so I guess, like, when you're going around there, you know, you're not a big stature guy, right? No. There's plenty of people who play point guard position who aren't big stature guys. Your dad played professional baseball. Is that always the sport you knew you were leaning towards, and basketball was just like, I like playing basketball, so let's play?
I like basketball a lot. It was just something to do to compete in the off season, and I know when I was getting recruited by Creighton and all the other colleges, they actually liked that too, that I was competing in another sport. But I was that type of guy that, you know, I would hit threes, but I would guard the best player, you know, all wherever he went, I went. I was face guarding the best player the whole time, so I'd probably finish the game with three or four fouls every single game, but. That's what I would do. I was just run up and down the court with whoever they had and just be a gnat. So that was me.
Obviously when we do this, like, this segment and we try to go through these interviews, it's kind of nice to get to know people a little bit. People don't know you as well. You know, like, even I try to do, all right, so what information do I have on Nicky Lopez, the person? And it's kind of limited. I know so many guys play golf or the things beyond that. But let's go back to at least college a little bit. Do you know what you would have done had you not played baseball? Like, did you have – or is it – Like, what kind of career would you have been in? I asked myself that about radio, if I should feel any better. But if you weren't in baseball, what kind of career would you have leaned towards?
So I've never really thought about it because, you know, when I was at Creighton, I was jumbling around majors left and right. My freshman year, I was in education. Found out that because I wanted to be a teacher coach. I thought that would have been pretty cool. And then that quickly went away because I had to do practicum hours. I had to go to schools.
Yeah, you have to actually go,
I couldn't do that with, you know, juggling practice time and all that stuff. And I wanted to focus on baseball. So then my sophomore year, I went to the business school. Didn't really know what I wanted to do in business school. Then kind of halfway through sophomore year, I did marketing. You can branch out into wherever you want with marketing. But did that in junior year. And junior year, I was still a little lost of, like, what marketing is. Like, all this stuff that comes with marketing. But, you know, ever since I was a kid, I just wanted to play baseball. And that's all I really thought about. I went to Creighton to play baseball. And then, you know, it was a good academic school, but marketing was basically the path that I would be on.
I know you said you always wanted to play baseball. Your dad played, I guess, semi-pro or pro, just depending on how you categorize it, baseball. When you were growing up, how big of a push was it for him? Because some guys handle it differently. Like, they play baseball and they want their kids to play baseball 24 hours a day. Right. Some go through the path of, like, well, if they want to play baseball, I want to do it. What ended, and I'm not saying either's wrong, I'm just saying, you know, from your dad's perspective, when he pushed you, how was his push for you to play baseball, just knowing that he played so much of it?
So something about my dad that not many people probably know is that he was a huge football player. He was an unbelievable football player. There's not much video on him, but he has a letter from Mike Ditka for the 85 Bears, bruised his kidney. He couldn't play with them. So, yeah, that's his kind of story. He went on to be an unbelievable softball player. And was a 16-inch Chicago softball player, Hall of Famer. So that was his claim to fame. But that's something about my dad, is that he didn't really push me to be a football player like he was, because he knew that, you know, small stature. But he saw something in me on baseball. So he didn't really push me, but he was always there to motivate me and, like, hey, like, you want to go? Want me to go throw to you, want me to, you know, give flips, hit you ground balls, whatever you want to do. And it was basically up to me if I wanted to do it. And he definitely pushed me, and it paid off. So, you know, I'm blessed that he did that.
One of those, if you're going to do it right kind of things.
Right.
Like, hey, if you're committing to do this, we're gonna definitely going to do this.
We're going to do it all out.
Do you remember watching your dad play much softball? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just curious.
Every single week, every single weekend, I was on a field. Carrying around his bat was bigger than me, but I was just walking around shagging fly balls during BP with him, and he brought me around wherever he went. So I grew up on a baseball field,
which I you know, like so many professional, like, people whose dad played that way, like, you get that from, you know, I'm sure Mondesi talks a lot about that, and we've heard that locally with, like, Patrick Mahomes growing up around a dad with his field. Do you think that was a big driving factor for you, I guess, in the, like, I want to be around sports all the time, was just kind of being around it?
I think so, because it was the only thing I kind of knew when I was young. It was just a baseball field. It was a baseball glove, a bat. That was the only thing I really knew. So that kind of was my, you know, driving factor ever since I was a little kid, was just, you know, I've been on a baseball field my whole life. Why stop? And that's, you know, my love of the game. They saw my love of the game when I was this big, you know, when I was like 4 years old, just following him around. So I stuck with it, and now I'm here. So it's kind of crazy.
You're listening to Tapping the Plate here on the 435 Podcast Network. Please like, subscribe on the radio.com app. For more of these interviews, will be about once a month. Nikki, you, I've talked to guys before, because, like, when you're talking about, like, enhancing skills, people go about it a different way. I've heard stories of guys who juggle or do hand dexterity exercises. Mm-hmm. You got any secret skills? Any secret talents to kind of help you get through that?
I don't.
No?
Not really. I don't really... Secret skills? Nothing I can't think of. I'm a horrible ping pong player. So,
really?
Like, that hand-eye coordination isn't there.
That doesn't
help? It doesn't help there. I like playing video games. I play a lot of video games in my free time.
What kind?
Fortnite was big.
Okay.
I kind of went away from Fortnite, played Apex, but back and forth then. And then, you know, sport games, basketball, baseball, the show.
Sure.
Yeah. But other than that, though, talents, no, just nothing really. So I've gotten the question, are you good at ping pong, a lot? And I I'm not. I'm really not good at ping pong.
You would think, you know, it's hand eye, so right. I could see.
So
that.
So I'm like, I'm really bad. Actually. We all,
you know, I think some of those questions come from, like, here locally. Zach Greinke would talk about having the touch gene.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just good at everything. Like, I beat my friends in all the little games we play. It's not that you're not good at parlor games, huh?
No.
It doesn't just like your skill doesn't translate to dart or ping pong. Or...
I'm okay at darts, but ping pong, no. Bags, I'm pretty good at, or cornhole, whatever you want to call it. Other than that, though, no. Like, it's weird.
So you spend some of your free time playing video games. I know so many guys play golf and things like that. What other kind of things do you do? Like, I know it's hard in a, during this season, but certainly you have a decent off season a lot of those times. What kind of things do you do to, you know, besides that, to keep it? Do you bake? Do you travel? Like, what kind of things do you handle?
No, I do not bake, but I do really enjoy golf. Just this funny fact is actually just this past spring training, maybe a little bit before that, I started golfing righty because I couldn't hit a ball lefty. I literally couldn't hit a ball off a tee lefty. It wasn't going straight. It was going behind me, to the left, to the right. Behind me, it was bad. And so I started golfing righty, and I started hitting the ball straight. Started, you know, hitting it pretty far, and started becoming okay at it, you know, enough to want to keep playing and, you know, try to get better. So I'm getting better. This spring training, I played a lot, which was nice. Got a nice set of clubs, a newer set of clubs. And then, but I putt lefty because I have no feel.
No touch.
Or touch putting righty. Yeah. So it's kind of, I know I have a lot of different clubs in the bag.
Did you ever switch hit?
I tried when I was like around 13, 14 years old. That didn't work.
Too late in the game,
so,
yeah, I guess.
So
huh?
I stuck to lefty.
But you can golf righty.
I guess
it doesn't make any sense.
No, it's weird. It's weird.
I get. Hey, look.
I'm weird.
You're trying to. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's an interesting. The fact that you. That's got to throw people off.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, depending on the putter you get, there are left-handed putters, obviously.
Right.
But it took you a while to just be like, I'll try righty.
Yeah.
You just picking up somebody else's club first, or what was the decision behind it?
Actually, yes. So one of my friends, his dad, or he played college golf. His dad was with us, and he's like, hey, try to use my righty club. Try it. And I hit it straight. And he's like, all right, you're done with those lefty clubs, like just use my clubs the rest of the round. So I did, and that's when I kind of started. It was, I think that was like October of last year.
Sure.
And so I just stuck, and I just kept doing it. So now I have a righty set and golf righty.
I guess whatever works, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
if it helps me enjoy the game a little bit better, I'll do whatever.
Yeah. Who's the toughest guy to golf with on the team out of your? Like, certainly you guys, you haven't played with anybody yet.
I haven't. So I'm new here. So you know, I know a couple people golfed before, but I've heard. You know, Witt golfs a lot, Dozier golfs a lot, you know, Galley and O'Hearn, they golf a lot too. They're kind of in my blocker range.
Yeah.
So they golf all the time. So I think I'm going to go on, you know, try to go golf with them once or twice.
Certainly you've played with a couple of these guys through the system, but some of them were like a half step ahead of you and then did the jump. You know, have you found some quick guys that you're hanging out with more on the road here in the early going versus others? Like, who have you kind of navigated to here in the early going as far as just, like, friends in the locker room?
Right. Witt's been really good to me. That's something I can really say, is that he's kind of taken me under his wing, which is something I really am thankful for. You know, Dozier and Gallagher, I played with Galley last year. Same with O'Hearn, I played with him. But, you know, they've kind of taken me under my wing, too, and then, you know, some of the pitchers, too. But the thing was, is that this road trip that we were just on, it was also the father's trip.
Yeah.
So everyone was hanging out with their father. So we didn't really have time to, you know, spend together as a team, or like, you know, as just players. So I'm hoping, you know, some of these road trips we'll be able to do that.
Do you try to soak in is every new stadium like a new, like, oh, there, you know, like, I know you just played, you mentioned that you played in Busch Stadium or, as you know, you're going to play the Yankees tonight, right? I mean, do those things kind of hit you in new ways as you go through the beginning part of your career?
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that, you know, I was able to play at Kauffman Stadium, you know, make my debut at Kauffman. I was like, oh, this is unbelievable. This is the
case. How nice, yeah.
This is crazy, the crown. I was taking it all in that for my debut. And then we went to, you know, Busch Stadium, obviously, and you know, the Angel Stadium, and got to play against Trout. So that was another thing that I got to take in, was Trout and Pujols, Ohtani. And then we went to Busch and was, you know, played against Yadier Molina. And then, yeah, Busch Stadium was, you know, something very special too. And then, so each trip is something that's new. And then we get to play against the Yankees. And, you know, the Yankees are arguably one of the better teams of, in all sports, the franchises. Sure. And then I'm really looking forward to this Chicago trip. It's kind of going back home. I know a lot of tickets have been sold at once I got called up. A lot of my friends will be there, family, you know, people that I've grown up with. So I'm looking really forward to that. And then just to be able to play back in Chicago is something.
How much time had you ever been to Kansas City before you got called up? Did you make a trip while you were in AAA, just come down and see the city? Had you made a point to, you know, like, had you ever just stumbled into, I guess, at some point?
I came for a pre-draft workout before I got drafted by them after my junior year. And then I came to a wedding in Kansas City from one of my teammates. But other than that, it was the pre-draft workout, the wedding, and that was basically it.
And then here the third time.
And then this is the third time.
There's already been a road trip.
Then the award ceremony.
When you, I guess, you know, you've only been here, like, Kansas City, you got to spend about a weekend. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to get out anywhere, try different places, see the city much, or is it just, okay, I'm in a hotel, I'm trying to get used to the big leagues, it's go home, get rest.
Right.
Rest up, or you get to see the city at all?
The plaza, I was able to, you know, navigate around the plaza, which is unbelievable. It's very nice. And then my off day yesterday, I was able to, you know, wander around Kansas City a little bit and, you know, look at apartments, go apartment shopping. So I was able to do that too. So I'm still, you know, picking, you know, the city apart, but I'm enjoying it.
When we're – so just a couple of other things, I guess, for people to get to know you before we let you go. We're speaking here with Nicky Lopez on Tapping the Plate. You can like, subscribe on the 435 Podcast Network through the radio.com app. I always like to, you know, because you said you played video games, so at least we got some handle on that. What kind of stuff do you watch on Netflix? What kind of movies are you into? Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did.
Okay. All the way through the end?
All the way through the end.
What'd you think of the ending?
I thought it was as good as they could have done with as short of time that they had. I thought it could have been longer.
More episodes might have done it more justice.
I thought more episodes would have been great. I just thought it came to an abrupt ending, personally. But I enjoyed it. It actually, funny story is that it took me about like 3 years to actually get going. I watched the first two seasons. I thought it was the worst show ever because it was so slow.
Yeah.
And my favorite character dies in the first season.
At this point, if you're spoiling it for anyone,
sorry,
it's a little too late.
Yeah, it's a spoiler. But, you know, when Ned Stark died, I was like, all right, well, this show stinks. And then my friend that I went to, you know, one of my best friends that I went to college with and, you know, high school, whatever. But he was like, you got to keep watching it. You got to get past second season. I did. And it was awesome. And then I was okay about season 8. Which is all right.
Did you watch it with just yourself? With your girlfriend? With friends?
No, myself. My girlfriend doesn't like it.
My wife doesn't watch it.
I tried.
She watches she's caught some episodes just through, you know.
Yeah.
You're hanging out and it's on, but yeah, my wife has not watched every episode for 8 seasons. Do you guys have a show that you have to watch together? That's the perfect relationship listening
that
to.
Is
it, can you actually, like, especially with your schedule, can you actually take the time to, like, wait to watch a show together? You guys have a couple like that?
We've tried.
It's hard.
We've started Dexter.
Okay.
But I've watched Dexter.
Boy, you're going to be really disappointed in how that ends, too.
But I've seen Dexter twice already through, and that's just the worst ending ever. But she doesn't know that yet, so hopefully she's not listening to this, that she's about to watch the worst ending ever.
Be like, don't worry, there's a lot of enjoyment until the end.
Exactly. But other than that, we haven't really watched a show through. There's a shooter is a movie, but they came out with a Netflix series that was pretty good too. We watched that actually fully through. So other than that though, no.
I feel like in your schedule in particular, it would increase the difficulty of hey, let's watch this show at the same time, like sitting down, maybe in an off season.
Right.
You could finish a show. You've mentioned so many like drama stuff, Dexter, Game of Thrones. Do you watch any comedy stuff?
I've seen Entourage.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody's seen Entourage. It's an HBO. I loved Entourage.
Okay. You were a little young for that show when it first came out. Did you watch it after it came out?
I watched it. I think the first time I watched it was in, I want to say college.
Okay.
The first time. And it was,
that feels like the perfect time to watch
it. It was great too because I didn't have to wait for another season to come out. All the seasons were already done with, so it was good.
I guess the only thing you'd have been waiting on at that point would have been the movie.
Right. Exactly.
Which I'm guessing you saw
based
on this conversation.
I've seen Entourage probably four times, start to finish because all my teammates like it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Was it a push? So, with Dexter, I just want to go back to that. Did you encourage her to watch it through, or was she just interested in the show in general?
Well, I've told her that Dexter's really good because it is a really good show.
Yeah, it is.
But it's just the ending is just brutal. But I've told her that it's really good, and she was like, all right, let's start watching it. I was like, all right.
I didn't know. I didn't, like, we've all been in, most of the people listening have probably been in some form of a long-term relationship. There's a give and take in TV shows.
Yeah, she's...
Or movies or something. Like, what's the show that you watch with her that you probably wouldn't watch otherwise?
She's tried to have me watch, Vampire Diaries and all that. And I'm like, I really don't want to do that.
I have a friend who
loves I've seen 90210, which was like a...
The new one or the old one? There's like an original one from like the 90s.
Newer one then.
Okay.
Newer one. And it wasn't that bad. It was I kind of enjoyed it, but I couldn't do Vampire Diaries. She tried to have me watch Grey's Anatomy. I couldn't do that either. I just act like I'm watching it and then just go to my phone or like I have a TV on. Like she's watching her laptop. I have the TV on in the background. I'm just looking at the TV and then if she catches me, I just look really quick at the computer.
Oh, that Meredith. I don't remember their names in that show.
Exactly. Exactly. One of those.
Just play along. That's fine.
Exactly.
We might get you in a little trouble in this interview. Yeah, but other than that, we're in really good shape. Hopefully. She's understanding, I'm sure.
She'll be all right.
Just last thing, and then we'll let you get out of here, Nikki. Just as you kind of come up and you experience all of this, we've talked a little bit about that and kind of wit going through that. You'd mentioned that you set goals for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in the majors. That goal is set. And I know stay in the majors is... part of that goal, right?
Yeah.
But are you the kind of guy who sets statistical marks for yourself too? Just like, hey, I want to be a 300 hitter or a 400 on base. Do you set statistical goals for yourself too, just as something you'd like to kind of achieve as you go throughout?
I don't try to focus too much on stats. But I do try to get on base. That's my goals. My goals are just to get on base. The 300 mark is a good mark for hitting, but obviously it's going to be tough. It's tough to always hit 300. Statistically, like if we're going to talk about a stat that I really take pride in is the on base percentage. Because if I get on base, that helps, the 3, 4, 5 hitters, helps the people behind me, drive me in, and, it just helps the team if I can get on base. So that's one thing that I do, take pride in. And then obviously one of the biggest goals is just to stay here, is to stay in the big leagues, compete and, just stay here as long as possible because I do want to start my career and end my career as a Royal. So that's something I'm taking pride in.
Nikki, I really appreciate it. I know you've given us a big chunk of time, and there's always baseball stuff to do. So thanks so much for thanks so much for joining me, and I really do appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
If you'd like to hear more of these, we'll do them about once a month, Tapping the Plate. Listen, like, subscribe, all on the 435 podcast through the radio.com app. We'll join you guys about a month or so with another episode, but please stay tuned for more. Here is we'll kind of get you covered on the other end. Thanks so much for joining us. Here is we'll kind of get you covered on the other end. Thanks so much for joining us. Here is
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.